Comedy Floss News and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, because here, the expression is still free. It's Saturday the 21st of August, and we're taking a close look at developments in the killing of Jean-Charles de Menezes in London. We're also taking a look at what's suspicious about a suspicious leak, and we'll be taking a close look too at Alex Jones and Dan Hopsicker in this weekend edition of The Next Level here on breakfornews.com.
Push me on to the next level.
And this is Fintan Dunn reporting. You're very welcome. Thanks to our sponsor, NeemWell.com, by the way. And Cathy McMahon is joining me here tonight to discuss the case of Jean-Charles de Menezes. Now, the killing of Jean-Charles is back in the news as a result of a leak from a police complaints commission official. A clerk at the commission leaked the documents to ITV. He's been suspended. And the information that's come out seems quite damaging to the police case. It's also damaging in terms of its effect on Mark Whitby, because Mark Whitby has had to change his story.
At first, Whitby was saying that the man was wearing a tick jacket, that he was Asian, that he looked like a cornered rabbit, and he looked absolutely petrified. So from that, you basically take it that Whitby, you know, had a good look at this guy.
Right. But it appears that what Whitby has been describing, and another key witness is describing, is a police officer who came onto the train, and not Jean-Charles de Menezes.
It seems to me that Whitby didn't actually see Menezes entering the train, because Menezes entered the train like any ordinary other person did.
Yes.
Both Whitby and another eyewitness mentioned a person with a baseball cap. Now, it seems that the person with the baseball cap is actually a plainclothes policeman.
Right, who'd come onto the train after Jean-Charles de Menezes had already come in and sat down.
It right. was the police officer who drew attention to himself.
Okay. And other witnesses who've talked about some guy who was running are almost certainly talking about this police officer also. And so that's led to a lot of confusion, but it has provided an opportunity for the circulation of reports about a man running onto the train. Yeah, a policeman was the one who ran onto the train.
Yeah.
And that police officer is the person who grabbed hold of Menezes and held him until he could be shot dead. Another interesting piece of information has come out in a report on williambowles.info. And William Bowles, we haven't identified on our list of CIA fakes, but it's worth pointing out that in an article today, William Bowles identifies not only Whitby, he's a bit late to that story. We've been talking about that for what, Cathy? 3 weeks?
Well, since 2 weeks. The day it happened.
Since the day it happened, we've been questioning Whitby, and William Bowles kicks in today with a big article questioning Whitby. But he also questions the account by Chris Wells, a company manager. And I think that Mr. Bowles, what he's doing there is he's dragging in the issue of the account by Chris Wells in order to take some of the heat off Whitby. Because in the public mind, it's Whitby's story, Cathy, isn't it, that's most identified with
this
issue.
Me, it's always been Whitby. There's plenty of other people who made statements as well, you know, but it was Whitby who was actually on the television.
Yeah. And Whitby, who was most explicit, and Whitby, who was so misleading in all that he said. So sometimes there's one of the advantages of being on to who's putting out disinformation. Because when you see William Bowles tell you that we really should take a close look at Whitby and Chris Wells, then you can forget about this guy, Chris Wells. He's been dragged in by Bowles to take the heat off Whitby. We'll be right back. Now, there is something else about which we have to be just a little bit suspicious, and that's the suspicious leak about a suspicious leak. All of this recent controversy about Jean-Charles de Menezes is as a result of a leak from a member of the Independent Police Complaints Commission in the United Kingdom. That leak about the investigation has led to these newspaper headlines and revelations. But you always want to be a bit suspicious about a leak, especially if it's about another leak that's suspicious. You see, in this material that has been leaked, that they had Jean-Charles under surveillance prior to his being killed. The leaked information includes details of an army surveillance operation, and the only problem is this, that they don't have any photos of Jean-Charles emerging from his home, despite the fact that he was under surveillance. And the reason is, according to the leaked information, is that the soldier involved who had the video camera was taking a leak at the time that Jean-Charles came out of the house, and therefore he didn't get video of him. That is just a little bit too convenient. I think what they're doing is bolstering the case they had him under surveillance, because as we pointed out in our article a few weeks ago, we've been saying this from the start, we believe there's good reason to suspect they never had this person under investigation. They claim they were looking at that house because they found its address in a card which was in a haversack in the failed London bombing attempts. That was the claim. And we're saying they invented that story in order to explain this cover story of having his house under observation. We believe they never did. We believe if they wanted, if the conspiratorial slants on these stories are right, and they wanted to kill somebody, it would have been a Muslim, would have been an Arab, it would have been somebody that they could have got away with. It wouldn't have been some Brazilian. We're saying that hot-headed SO19 special police officers killed somebody in error, drastically, desperately in error, because they believed all this stuff about London being under threat. They didn't realize the government's behind it all. And they took it seriously, and they overreacted, and they killed somebody. And a special team came in to clean that up. And we believe that this cover story of having him under surveillance in advance was invented. We believe they're lying about this. We believe the leak is designed to bolster the lie. That's our take. I think there's good reason for that take. And I hope the fact that you get those kind of takes on stories is the reason why you're here on The Next Level on breakfornews.com.
Here it comes again.
Okay, let's give you an update on our CIA fakes list. Now, that was a list of 108, you can count them, 108 websites who are either controlled by the CIA directly and fully and entirely, or who are so hopelessly compromised with rubbish inspired by the CIA as to be useless. And that list did generate a certain amount of consternation, especially among the CIA fakes. As we knew it would, and they stayed quiet about it for a few days, but then when they realized it was getting traffic, they began to at least put up some kind of a token resistance. not too much resistance because they don't want to draw too much attention to Break for News at the end of the day, just to try and put people off of our story. And one of the ways they tried to do that, believe it or not, was Chris Bolin on rumormillnews.com writing that all you had to do was take a look at my face to realize where I was coming from. And yeah, it's true, I've got a pretty good nose, but I also have an entirely complete genital area. Yes, my willy is entirely uncircumcised. And if I am Jewish, as was implied by Chris Bolin, then I must be the first Irish Roman Catholic Jew on the planet. Níl isigeam cáta na hamadáin seo ag déanamh. And as you can see, I also must be the first Irish Roman Catholic Jew to be able to speak native Irish. Buíochas le dia. Now, the reason we were able to name those 108 websites is that we, for 3 years, have been conducting an investigation of these people. You will remember, if you're a long-term listener or reader of our material, that we were the first to write about 9/11. Our articles, published 7 and 21 days after the attacks, received about 250,000 hits, most of them from the east coast of the United States, in the month following the 9/11 attacks. And at the end of that month, we pulled those articles from the website and we stopped publishing on the internet. There were good reasons for that, which we're not going to go into right now. But when we returned to the internet, it was with a plan. We did so with a determination to find out who was behind what had happened. And as we went on with that investigation, it did require us to appear to be just a little more dim than we actually are. The reason for that was to make sure that we could get close enough to these people in order to properly investigate them. And we knew that we could take advantage of one aspect of their operations. What they like to do is to bring in and merge their information from real investigators on the internet in order to lend more credibility. So they were happy to use breakfornews.com to get their spin on events out. Only thing is, they didn't realize that we were happy to let them do that, as long as it meant that we got to investigate them better. Anyhow, now that the information is out in the public domain, now that we've identified the sites involved, we're following that up with analysis, and you can get that on wagnews.blogspot.com. Just read our recent articles there to get an idea of what's really going on. And we're going to take a close look tonight at Daniel Hopsicker and Amanda Keller. Amanda Keller, the girlfriend of Mohammed Atta, who's been telling those amazing stories about Mohammed. And Daniel Hopsicker has been bringing those amazing stories to us and not questioning Amanda Keller's motives in what she's saying. So that makes us question Daniel Hopsicker's motives. And so, as you can read in recent articles on wagnews.blogspot.com, we're questioning what's going on here. Let's imagine, just for one moment, that Amanda Keller's not telling the truth. Let's imagine that she's trying to paint a particular picture of Mohammed Atta, a picture which Daniel Hopsicker is passing on to us and to the world. So, if you've previously believed what Amanda Keller's saying, suspend the belief system that you've got. For a moment, have a listen to Amanda Keller, and this time, see if you can detect somebody who's really hamming it up in terms of what she's saying about Mohammed Atta.
These guys had money flowing out their ass. I mean, excuse my language, but they never seemed to run out of money. I mean, they was just tossing money left and right. I mean, it was just like, oh my God. And they had massive supplies of cocaine.
Okay, I think you get the picture. Not all the picture. Amanda says that, well, she didn't really realize what was going on here.
Well, after they introduced me to this stuff and showed it to me, you can tell different characteristics of somebody. Okay. I couldn't understand why their jaw was going like this.
Right.
You know? I didn't know what the hell it was, and they started chewing gum.
Okay, hold on just one moment. According to Hopsicker, he's being charitable when he calls Amanda Keller a lingerie model. He's implying that she is in fact a stripper, if not in fact a call-out girl. And we're supposed to believe that somebody who is engaged in selling sexual services of some sort in Florida hasn't a notion what it looks like if somebody is a cokehead. Well, I'm afraid I can't buy that. And I can't buy this either, This is getting a little bit too 007 for me.
You know what? In the one building, the Huffman building by the 44th Squadron, there's a doorway that leads down. I don't know where it goes, but they have somebody standing out in front of that door. You are not allowed to go down there.
Okay.
It's forbidden only for certain people.
Okay, there's a doorway and it leads down and it's in Huffman Aviation and there's a guy stands in front of the door all the time to make sure nobody goes down.
You are not allowed to go down there. It's forbidden only for certain people.
He doesn't by any chance, he's not a huge guy with silver teeth by any chance, is he, Amanda? You know, like in the Bond movie. Okay, let's leave the Bond story for a moment and come back to some more wild stories about Muhammad Atta.
I was in a session one day. Muhammad and all these people that he was with, they were drunk and stoned out of their freaking minds. I wish I knew some of these girls' real names so they could tell you.
Okay, I wish I knew some of these girls' real names so I could tell you. Yeah. Well, I wish you knew them as well, Amanda. I wish you had some of those names so we could get some corroboration on this. But unfortunately, they weren't using their real names. Ah, well.
I wish I knew some of these girls' real names so they could tell you.
That's the way it goes. We'll just have to take your word for it then, I suppose. I mean, what would you being a sort of call-out girl who makes a habit of praying and reading the Bible?
I was praying, and I was sitting at the table, and I was reading my Bible. And he come in and snatched my Bible away from me and tore it in half. He said, "What are you doing?" And I had crosses on my walls, and he broke my crosses.
Oh, that nasty, nasty Muhammad Atta. Imagine tearing up her Bible and breaking all her crosses. Really, the depths some people will sink to. Not only that, but Muhammad Atta beat Amanda Keller. Did you know that? Oh, yes, yes, yes. They had three huge rows. Oh, they did. Oh, they did. Yes, 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 they did.
Nancy says Muhammad beat you three times, the third time of which was last bite through his shit over the thing down under the asphalt below. She heard two really loud arguments, you know, and then I guess saw you with bruises. Did he hit you?
Yes, they left bruises.
Really?
Well, yes, yes, we got into three very nasty arguments.
Oh, yes, 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 he did three times, yes.
Yes, they left bruises.
Really?
Well, yes, yes, we got into three very nasty arguments.
Oh, definitely. It gets worse, though. I mean, he's not just nasty, Bible-tearing. All of that pales into comparison to what Muhammad Atta did to Amanda Keller's cats.
Okay.
And then right after that was when all my cats ended up killed.
How many cats?
She had a litter of six, and only one survived. And the mama lit it on my kitchen table. And I found little baby cat parts all over the place.
Oh, dear. Well, you can get the full story from Amanda Keller on madcowprod.com, where you can listen to that interview and hear all about the nasty Muhammad Atta and all the baby cat parts. And I think that after all this is over, Amanda Keller's got a future. I mean, she's comic talent is just oozing out of every pore of that girl's body. I see Amanda Keller starring with maybe John Travolta in some kind of romantic comedy. She would just be terrific. Or maybe even Arnie Schwarzenegger. Anyhow, after all that much comedy, you probably need a change of pace. Let's take a change of pace. We'll be right back with an analysis of what Dan Hopsicker and Amanda Keller are up to and what Alex Jones is up to after this. Change from Tracy Chapman. You're on The Next Level on breakfornews.com and we'll be right back.
If you knew that you would die today, you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love can't break your heart, when you're down so low you cannot fall, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction? action would cause an effect. Makes you turn around, makes you try to explain, makes you forgive and forget, makes you change.
Very welcome back. This is The Next Level on breakfornews.com. Now, as you probably gathered, we're not buying Amanda Keller, we're not buying what she's saying, and we think the entire Muhammad Atta story is a diversion. Now, what is it a diversion away from? Because you'd think that this story is telling you something, showing the government story up to be incorrect about Muhammad being a fanatical Muslim. So if they're prepared to undermine the government story to an extent by allowing this out in the alternative conspiracy media, there must be some payoff. And I think the payoff is indicated by Dan Hopsicker himself in a commentary on his own video productions.
How exactly did Venice, Florida become the biggest September 11th crime scene that wasn't reduced to rubble? Were they sent here? Was it an assignment?
See, that's critical, isn't it? Because we're down in Venice, Florida, taking a look at these issues, and it's what Hopsicker describes as the only 9/11 crime scene that wasn't reduced to rubble. Well, what if it isn't a 9/11 crime scene at all? And it's worth bearing in mind that the ones talking about Muhammad Atta from the beginning were the government. The ones talking about Muhammad Atta were the media, who said that Pakistani intelligence had paid money to Muhammad Atta. We are meant to follow the Muhammad Atta line, because it leads us into supposedly the drugs trade. Sibel Edmonds says it leads us into the drugs trade, and it leads down to the Saudis. It leads to LIHOP, basically, which is let it happen on purpose. In other words, the nasty Bush guys were the ones who did this. But let's leave that fundamentally LIHOP exercise. That's what we're saying about the whole Muhammad Atta, Sibel Edmonds, Saudi angle, drugs angle, is that it's LIHOP. It's a diversion.
This is a story about legends. Your legend is your cover story in intelligence parlance, the lie that holds together long enough to let you slip away. Who are these guys?
But let's come to what Alex Jones has been doing, another leading light of the alternative media, of the conspiracy media. Now, it was within 24 or 48 hours of Alex Jones starting to talk about the terror drill by Pfizer consultants being a cover for the actual attacks, that we published something that said he's wrong, he's totally wrong on this, they weren't. And the reason we did that is because we knew that Alex Jones was setting us all up to take the fall on this one, setting the conspiracy media up to take the fall. Even worse than that, what Alex Jones is doing. You could call it treachery, but treachery presumes that somebody was, you know, on your side in the first place and then did something treacherous to betray. Alex Jones has never been on our side, never been on the side of truth. Alex Jones's job is to be so over the top that he drives ordinary opinion away from the conspiracy issue, and his other job is to spread disinformation at critical points, and he really has done a big job on it this time. And Channel 4 were quick to take advantage of the report by Alex Jones, and in an article on Channel 4 by JJ King, their reporter, he ridicules Alex Jones's interpretation of events about the terror drill being run by Pfizer consultants. Remember that Jones wasn't just saying that the terror drill was cover for the London bombings, but that similarly, terror drills in the United States were also cover for 9/11. He was tying the two issues together. And in that Channel 4 news article, they refer to that tie-in created by Alex Jones. Because once the mainstream have revealed that Alex Jones's take on the London bombings and the terror drills issue is totally wrong, then all they have to do is by implication extend that to say that, by the way, these conspiracy theory people, they're going on about terror drills on 9/11 as well, you know, and they're equally wrong there. So in one fell swoop, not only has Alex Jones done damage to those who were seeking to find out what was really going on with the London bombings, but he's also undermine the credibility of those who've asked questions about the terror drills which took place on 9/11. And so what we're saying is, to make no mistake about it, that this is planned. We've written about Peter Power. Peter Power stinks. Peter Power's right up to his neck in all of this. And you can go to wagnews.blogspot.com and read about Peter Power. Or go to Google and type Wag News Peter Power and you should get those articles. So what we're saying that went down with Pfizer consultants Peter Power, Alex Jones, and Channel 4, is that this was a deliberate setup. Not only did Alex Jones jump in order to very early on discredit those who were questioning the London bombings, that's very useful for these people, to be able to discredit anybody who raises questions based on Alex Jones, who's out there as the number one conspiracy man. But we're saying that Peter Power made that comment about running a terror drill quite deliberately. That was a prearranged comment. Every little piece of what Peter Power said was prearranged, and so was Alex Jones's intervention on the issue. And the overall game plan was not just to throw people off the track on the London bombings issue, but to discredit the issue of the terror drills on 9/11. Because those terror drills on 9/11 are a weak point in what happened on 9/11. Because even an average member of the public is going to wonder, how come they were running so many terror drills or exercises on 9/11? And in order to steer people away from that, it's good to discredit any questioning of those terror drills by having Alex Jones come out about terror drills in relation to the London bombings and thus discrediting the whole issue. That is the level that these people are operating at. They are manipulating the 9/11 issue. And they're engaged in an active campaign to discredit those who put out conspiracy theories on the internet. And they have vast resources with which to do it. Daily 2-3 hour long radio broadcasts, video material, books, etc., etc. We're real investigative, independent reporters. That's what we are. That's why we can just about manage to get a website out there, and when we're under pressure to come up with money, to just about manage to get a few audio shows out there. We don't have the kind of resources that these people have because we don't have the government behind us. We just have our own commitment and the commitment of our listeners, for which we're very grateful. Thank you. And that's it for this edition. We will be back next week with some more, and I hope you can join us for that. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn.
And this has been Cathy McMahon.
And we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.